You know, I love that song, I Surrender. I Surrender. And it's my prayer, and I prayed as we were singing that, that that's not just words, but that God really enables us to let go and surrender to Him. The possibilities of what God wants to do compared to what we can conceive are incomprehensible. It's so infinite, the difference. And you know, Alan started off talking about don't be afraid and asking God to help us not to be afraid. But fear is a characteristic of human nature because we lean on our own understanding and we just cannot comprehend how things like what we just described with Mukumbi could ever really happen in our lives. We just don't see how that's possible. And we see the pitfalls of what can happen, and so we start to guide our lives or guard our lives to make sure we're going to be okay, and we are living exactly like the world. It's not by faith. It's by sight. I'm doing what I see I can do. I want to do the most I can, but I'm doing it within the boundaries of what I think is possible. Well, we've boxed God out when we think that way. And God says, don't be afraid. Our faith is based, and I love that part of the song, it's based on the cross of Jesus Christ. He sees that we're weak. He sees that we're afraid. He sees that we're self-centered. He sees that we don't, with abandon, see who He is and love Him and follow Him, but we try to hold on and save our lives, and we're separated from Him, and He knows we need to be rescued because our own hearts, that's our biggest enemy. And Christ came to this earth to touch us in a way that we could understand as another human being. And He modeled a life that we could see had the potential of God in it. And compared to ours, we could see we're a long separated way from that. And He didn't condemn us for it. He didn't just say, man, step up, you know, get some courage, start doing what you need, because He knew we're not able to do that. We're afraid as human beings. He died on the cross to pay for our sins, to show us how much God loved us right where we were, and how it was worth that sacrifice because God knew that if we could fall in love with Him like He's in love with us, that we would have the power to live by faith. But we can't have faith in God if we can't see His heart, if we can't see the mercy and the forgiveness and the desire to give grace or to equip us to do what we can't do in ourselves. All of that's in the cross. And He rose from the dead and conquered death, which is our greatest fear. I scrambled through my life, all my life. I never put it together. Now my life is over and I never made anything of it that lasts. I didn't reach my dreams and now it's gone. And we fear death, but Christ conquered that. And so we can surrender to Him into the possibilities of what He's doing. How many would you agree that takes spiritual growth, and that takes encouragement from the body that God puts you in? It's hard to stand alone when things are falling apart. And that's why God told us, and this is the vision that God has for the church, and so it's the vision that He has for our church. This is how Jesus operated. But He tells us, look, if you want to accomplish God's word, will, you got to gather together, because just like snowflakes, one of you is pretty vulnerable, but a bunch of you together can stop traffic. And you need to bind yourself to one another. You need that encouragement. You need to help each other and encourage each other in the faith. You cannot be a Christian as a lone ranger. Christ did not save you into the kingdom with a private apartment. He saved you into the family, and we're all living in a community. And we all need one another. And so we gather together. This is a fundamental precept of Christianity that in America we've lost. People want to come at 10 for an hour and not ever really be part of the family of God. You cannot mature as a Christian on your own. And so you can mature some in knowledge, but you can't mature as a Christian because Christian's about love. Christianity is about love, and I can't love people I don't know. I can just think about feeling for them. And we gather together to grow. That is our purpose. The more that I grow to understand who God really is, the more my fears dissipate. The more my faith grows. I want to understand who God is. I want to understand who I am as his creation. I want to understand how he wants me to live. I want to understand what he wants to do in my life. I want to be able to understand and see God's ways of working. I don't want to look at circumstances as challenges and problems. I want to look at them as the opportunity that God has given me to miraculously reveal himself. And so we come together to actually grow as Christians in our faith, develop Christ-like characters, learn how to live so that we can go and not just talk about, but picture and model what Christianity is, just like Jesus did when he came to this earth. So that we can gather more people together. And the cycle continues, where we're making disciples, not gathering converts. The religious leaders gathered converts. People who agreed with what you thought. Jesus developed disciples, disciplined followers of the Lord. And that's the difference. And that is the whole mission. Everything we do revolves around that here at Eastwood. Everything that TPI, Training Pastors International, does revolves around that same thing. And, you know, I've known McCombie for a little over 20 years. I've known Greg for almost 47 years. That's a long time for us to have known one another. I knew him when he was just beginning, as just a college student, and I know what God has done and where he is right now, and his story is just as amazing as McCombie's. And it is interesting how after I started pastoring here, after not seeing Greg for over 30 years, he came back in to my life, and now he has hooked him and McCombie together. And so I'm just going to tell you just a little about Training Pastors International. The mission vision that they have always had is to equip national pastors. In other words, Greg is not about getting people like me to go over and teach people how to pastor a church. He's about getting a first group trained and then they spread it throughout their culture. They do that work. He's equipping them by discipling them so that they can go disciple, they go disciple. And once he's equipped them, he's off to someplace else that doesn't have anyone to teach him. And I'm just going to give you a minute to, just like with McCombie, just to welcome him and give applause to God, not for Greg, but for what God has done in Greg. And then I'm going to tell you a little about it and let him speak. So, Greg, if you'll come up here, let's welcome Greg. And I'm gonna give you that, make sure it's on. But I'm gonna say just a few things about him also before we go, and not just about him, but about what God has done through him. You know, when I met him, he was a struggling college student just like I was, and you know, Greg taught me a lot of good things. But when he started off and he went on a trip to Honduras, God spoke to him in that trip. And he realized that there were lots of people in rural places who could not access any type of Bible training. They were pastors, but they didn't go to seminary. They didn't know exactly how to interpret the Bible, how to read the Bible, or so. They were listening to the radio to be able to get a sermon to preach next week, and it was difficult for them to understand that Bible's a big book. You know, how do I get my hands on it to teach my people? And God touched him and said, he said, you know, if I get five people in there, I'll go talk to them. Well, his first class was 25, and I want to just tell you what's happened over there. Has it been 20 years that you've been doing it? Since 2002, however many years that is. That's almost 20, right? But in training Pastors International, what they do is they go out to wherever the people are, the pastors are, where they can come in to get this class. They give them the materials, they provide the instructor, and they teach them. And right now, they've trained over 10,000 pastors in 11 countries. This is a 3-year seminary program of Bible school. So when they come out, they are prepared and they understand the Bible. 572,702 people had the gospel presented to them by these men, recorded as the project during the time they're in school. He's got no idea how many people have been presented the gospel and how many people have been witnessed to, since some of them have been out almost 20 years in the ministry, because they don't keep records of that, but they keep records of the projects they have of learning evangelism, learning discipleship, how many people have they brought together, gone through the program to go. So they don't even have an evangelistic ministry. That's not their ministry. But during the 3 years the people are in there, the groups that have been through, over 572,000 people have heard that gospel. 127,296 people have accepted Christ into Savior and come into churches, mostly of that these men are pastoring while they're in school. And that is only during the time that they're in there doing that project. 4,231 new churches were planted during the school time. So he's gotten, just like Mukumbi's got a record because he's sending them out of his church. But as those churches plant churches, pretty soon he's going to lose track of the record. And Greg has no idea what's been done as the time goes, but he knows during the school time, there have been 4,231 churches planted. I want to tell you something. There are a lot of ministries that have been a church planting ministry that have not been able to do something like that. And this is not what they do. It's what God has done through the men that they have trained. And now God has brought him to a place where he is looking at opening up TPI, not just in Central America and South America, but he is going to open up in Uganda. And as far as people outside the country, like, this is an American-based ministry that's really an overseas ministry. You're the only American, you're the only non-native employee. So that's pretty amazing to see what God has done. They're in Cuba, they're in different places. Before I go on at all and we start to explain how you two guys are gonna hook together, Greg, I wanna give you just a few minutes just to express your gratitude to God and your thanks to him.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm amazed that the Lord would allow me to be a part of what he's done and just to see it and move among it. The issue, we began training pastors and God took over from the beginning, and we went from one group of 25 to over 400 in the first year. I stepped off into deep water. I'm in over my head, and that's a good place to be. Uncomfortable. When you're in water over your head, you're uncomfortable for Jesus. Are you listening? We're too comfortable. I found out that as a missionary, I was too comfortable. I had classes, 70 classes of men in 10 countries, 11 countries, and men that I had discipled that were discipling others and training pastors, and we have over 1,500 men, right at 1,500 men enrolled every year in this 3-year program, and I'm comfortable. And the Lord kept sending me requests from around the world to go and train them. Heartfelt requests, will you come to my country? And I began to deflect those. No, I'm comfortable. I began to deflect them. Is there somebody else that can go? And then I said, Lord, I'm surely not the only missionary you've got. There's somebody sitting on the couch this Sunday afternoon watching football that could probably go. But that's not my business. He called me. And I've always since these invitations have not just come from Vietnam, from Cambodia, from around the world. They've come from him to join him in what he's doing. I asked the Lord, please, Lord, I don't want to be a comfortable missionary. I don't want to rest. I want to do what you want me to do. Send me out to deep water if that's what you want. But Lord, if you would please, I don't know which of these requests to answer from around the world. I don't know. Would you please guide me through one of our partnering churches, churches that stand with us and support our ministry to train pastors in Central and South America and the Caribbean? Oh, surely. I thought that wouldn't take God long because we have churches that support us that are 30,000 members, and they have missions in China and all, Indonesia and all over the world. For one of those churches to come to me and say, you know, Greg, there is a need to train pastors in this country that we just got back from. But all I heard was crickets. I developed a plan to answer those requests. And when I developed the plan, for 4 years, crickets. And then Bill showed up. I mean, Pastor Bill.
They don't know who Pastor Bill is. That would work.
And he said, Greg, I have a friend in Uganda, Pastor Makumbi, and I believe they need what you're doing. I believe there are pastors there that need training. Would you be willing to go? I'll be honest with you, Brother Makumbi, I've already told you this. When I surrendered to be a missionary, surrendered to go wherever God wanted me to, I held my breath. Lord, please don't send me to Africa. And I was so relieved when he sent me to Honduras. But guess what? The Lord confirmed through that invitation that he's sending me to Africa. And I praise his name. I praise his name. To be a part of what God is already doing and is at work in Uganda through Pastor Makumbi's ministry there, that there are pastors that are waiting to be trained and be equipped. And our focus is we want to equip and train pastors to accomplish the Great Commission. Accomplishing the Great Commission one trained pastor at a time. That's our goal. That's our focus. I tell you, as I get closer, you know, when there's a sign far off and you're driving down the road and the sign is getting closer and closer, it's getting clearer and clearer. The closer I get to realizing this vision, I see that it's the most important work that God has called me and allowed me to be a part of in all my life. What he is going to do through planting what we've been doing for the last 20 years and seen so many thousands of lives changed, to take this seed and plant it there in Uganda so that he would have a harvest that will be honoring and glory to him. I'm overwhelmed. This is an awesome, awesome privilege that God is allowing me to do. And you know what? You guys are a part of that. If it hadn't been for Eastwood, I would have never known Brother Makumbi. And the Lord wouldn't have guided us there to Uganda to be able to plant this seed and see this harvest that's coming down the road. I thank you, Eastwood. I thank you. And it's not just him, the pastor, but there are others that are not just praying for, but are undergirding to go to make this happen, this training happen.
Well, he said a lot right there. One of the things that I want to point out that he didn't say, but it was kind of in that thing, is that, you know, he's not looking for places to go. As a matter of fact, one of the policies that he has is we're not going anywhere where we're not asked to go because people are saying, hey, we've been praying for this. We've been praying for this training. We want to be trained. We've been asking God to send someone. And then he comes. And it reminded me of of this picture right here, which is one of Tim Harper's favorite pictures. This lady is a lady who prayed when she was 10 years old. A missionary came through in that remote place in Africa where her village was, and she and her family got led to the Lord. And she prayed for over 60 years that someone would come back and preach to the community and would bring Christ to the community. Those two men standing with her are her sons that are the pastors of this little church as we came. And we came back in there to do a medical mission in order to bring the community in and give them a chance to preach and expand that church. And you should have seen that lady running around praising God that her prayers had been answered. She was so excited that God had sent someone to bring the gospel to her community. That's who Greg is looking, that's where he wants to go. He wants to go to a place that the work's been done, the prayer's been put in, the field is fertile, and he can drop some intense Bible study in there, and it can change and make an enormous difference in what happens out of that community. And so I love seeing that picture. I wish I would have been smart enough to get a picture when she was running around. I see Tim's smile, you know, the big smile on his face as he's remembering that. But that is a big part of this partnership that really none of us in this room would have ever expected that God might do, but it's the kind of thing God does do. It's got potential way above what we would ever think that this church could be a part of. And so I'm gonna ask Makumbi to come back up, and Makumbi, come on back up here, and the guys who are going on this team, come on up also. And I want to ask you one question as we go forward right here. Makumbi, tell us what it was like after you got the news that Greg was wanting to bring Training Pastors International to Uganda, and you told your people about it. Kind of describe that for us.
Yeah, it was Sunday. Okay, well, you know, we had communicated, a lot about TPI with me and Pastor and Bill, Brother Bill. I call him Brother Bill. And, then he said, yeah, I think we'll fix this. So after, you know, having their discussion, he came up and said, I think it has worked. TPI is coming. Oh, I was so grateful inside, but then I said, no, I have to share this. Maybe it's not a good news to the church. You know, already we have our, you know, school of ministry. So Sunday, I shared it with our church administrator, and I said, we are soon having a Bible school opened up in our church. He asked, when? I said, I don't know yet. Anyway, he said, should I communicate it to the church? I said, no, wait. Anyway, after finalizing everything, then I stood on the platform before, it was my day of preaching, but before preaching, in the first service, second service, and third service, I had to announce this. So I told the church that I thank God we are soon having a Bible school in our church, and it's gonna train pastors, ministers, and so forth. This is what the men did. They stood and they did, you know, when men, African men, get something good, something which, you know, build up something, they come up, and then the lady screamed, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, wow. There was kind of a commotion in the entire church. And I just, you know, I did this on my head and said, because I could not understand what was going on. Brother Greg, I want to make this promise to you before the brethren and before Brother Bill. We will not feed you monkey brain. I know he has been telling me, you know, whenever we have been talking, he has been sharing this to me. I never wanted to come to Africa. And I said, maybe because we eat monkey brains, we eat fish eyes. So please, we will not feed you fish eyes. We will not feed you monkey brains. And we will not, but you'll bear with us. We may feed you some pieces of snake. It's delicious. Please. Yeah, and Bill and his group, they are witness. We did not feed them monkey brains. We could eat them and, you know, some bowels and so, but we did we feed you monkey brains?
We don't know what we ate.
Please,
we
will not. Please come to Africa. Amen. So, anyway, God is good. Please, we are so grateful that this training is coming. Okay, I did not pray for the, you know, for you to come. But when I felt that I should start a school of ministry in our church, this is the statement I made before God. And I've never shared this to you, neither have I to you. I waited until I shared with the brethren. I made this statement to God. I said, Lord, I'm going to start this school of ministry, and I'm going to develop my curriculum or my, you know, subjects which I feel will benefit these people. And I will do my way, the best way I can do it. And please, if you feel that I can't do it, you know, efficiently, you know, in the model you want it, please, maybe you can send somebody who can do it better than I do. So I believe that God answered my conversation to him. I would not call it a prayer.
Well, it sounds pretty close to me. You know, I want to let you kind of know what we're doing, because we've been in a stage of planning to see what can happen for a long time, and getting logistics to do something like this is pretty complicated. But what Greg has come up with is there's three other churches besides ours that are partnering together, and he's secured those churches. And from each church, he wants a team of four people that can go over once a year and teach a quarter. And now they're going to do it like some of you have been to college, where you go, and rather than going to school for a semester period, you can go to summer school for one intense week or two intense weeks. Well, we're going over for 1 week, and we will teach 10-hour days of training, and they'll have homework, and they'll come back, and each quarter a different church will go. And so these guys have all... Dave's got a seminary degree, and John's got a seminary degree, as you guys know, and these four guys have committed to whatever it takes to go for the next 3 years, and the idea from that is when that first group gets done, out of that group we can find some people who live there that are called, and that Greg sees are called to continue that program off, and not only that, everyone who's trained will be using that in their churches or whatever. And so we're going to do something we've never done before, and that is our church is actually committing to be a part of an overseas mission. And so before I close this out, I'm going to just give this microphone to each one, and I'm just going to give them a moment to express to you their feelings about about going on this trip or these trips?
Good morning, Eastwood. Well, so it's no accident what has been talked about this morning, because when Bill first asked me about it, the first thing that popped into my mind was fear. I said, I've never been to Africa. What if they don't like me?
Everybody likes
What if I have to eat monkey brains? So fear was definitely a part of it. And then we sang the song about surrender. And since that fear first took me over, I reminded myself what I did when I was 25 years old over in Spain, when I surrendered my heart to Christ. And I've done my best to try to follow him ever since. So I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to surrender. And then this is going to get me out of my comfort zone. But we are going, not just us as we're doing this ourselves, we are going as ambassadors for you. So what can you do to help us? This is what I want you to do. Pray. Pray we don't have to eat monkey brains. But seriously, pray. Pray for us from now until we get back. The people that we touch. This is an opportunity for us as the body of believers here at Eastwood to multiply our footprint on this earth like nothing I've ever been a part of. So I'm just thankful to God that he allowed me to do it. Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. One of the things Dave said to me when I was talking with him is as we talked through, he said, you know, this is going to be the most significant thing I've ever done in my life. And I think that as the more that we've looked and we see the scope of the possibilities of what God can do, it's just amazing. John?
I met Greg about 3.5 years ago. Bill, you invited, I believe, my wife and I. We went out for dinner and talking to Greg, and I said, you know, ever since I was in high school, I felt the Lord calling me to missions and to teach at like a Bible Institute or teach pastors. Well, that's a number of years ago. But the Lord's given me opportunity to pastor. I pastored for 20 years, 22 years, and missions trips all the time. Man, we mixed a whole lot of mezcla. That's concrete. We dug foundations. We did, you know, evangelism work, taught vacation Bible schools, but since I met Greg, I said, wow, Lord, here after about 45 years, after laying that on my heart, maybe I have an opportunity to actually teach some courses. And so Greg said, well, is there a particular subject you like to teach? And I said, Revelation. And Jorge was sitting across the table from you. He was sitting next to me. And I don't know much Spanish, but I heard the word, Apocalypso? Apocalypso? I said, yeah, Apocalypso. In case you don't know it, that's not only Spanish, but that's Greek. So I've had the privilege a couple times, went to Paraguay. But what I want to mention is not only do they minister to pastors, but that's your side of it, but your wife, Cheryl, she's still your wife. Okay, you can smile. There you go. The Lord put it on her heart to reach out to pastors' wives. And about 3 years ago, when I was in Paraguay teaching Revelation, her first class of pastors' wives went through a similar, not training to be pastors, but how to put up with a preacher. You realize there's a lot of stress. You need to be praying for your pastor's wife. she has to share you with the whole congregation. You understand the responsibility? And so here I am, an American English-speaking male, trying to say something to a number of Spanish wives. I'm not sure what I said or whether they even heard what I said. But you know, his daughter, his whole family is involved in that. One of your daughters was my translator. That night, I wasn't scheduled to speak there. And my translator wasn't there, so his daughter translated for me as I spoke. And so his whole family, part of the family, Milton. stand up and turn around. This is his son-in-law, Milton. And he pastors a Spanish speaking church here in the States. And I think maybe you have other plans for him to work in the ministry here too, is why you're training him. Never? Well, listen, we talk about prayer. This is an awesome responsibility. Bill preached about multiplication. You remember just a week or two ago, we talked about one becomes two becomes four becomes... There you go. And then what? Okay, it's called a geometric progression. And folks, the opportunities here, it's one thing if I go on a missions trip and I evangelize and one person gets saved. But when you teach 30 pastors and they go out and teach in their 30 churches, you're talking 900 people that hears the gospel. That's multiplication, and that's what God wants. Paul told Timothy, because Paul had this same burden, he wanted to teach young pastors. He said, the things that you have heard from me, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So he expects it to go on and on. And so this is such a great privilege with such opportunity. Not only is it the 30 from your church, Macoumbi, but there's another church. So I think we're gotten involved in 2 weeks worth of work here. And I don't know, it's going to be an exciting time. So there's preparation, there's a lot of expense involved. Let me encourage you to give generously. You're investing in the bank of heaven. You understand that? Invest in the bank of heaven. We'll be paying most of our own way. But those 30 men that come, they work. They're lay pastors. So we'll have to be supporting them for that whole week, feeding them, to help feed their families, whatever. So make it part of your ministry. And like I said, if you want great returns on your investment, eternal returns, the bank of heaven.
Well, thank you, John. Jonathan?
I think I'm going because I'm part of the insurance and policy to ensure that if something good happens, it wasn't us, it was God. This is so far out of my wheelhouse, going and teaching something I feel I need to grow in, and I am growing in this, so I'm excited to go. I feel about as qualified as Macoumbi coming over with $5. I'm going to Uganda with about $5 worth of equipping or qualification, but the richest we are taking is the Word of God, and it's so powerful. And you guys think about the way the Word of God has changed your lives. And I can tell you, having gone to Uganda twice before, it is a rich and fertile ground. The hearts of people there, the men that are Christ followers, they are hungry to grow in the Word of God in preaching and training. So I'm just so excited. And I'm going also knowing that I'm going to get a chance to play with some kids there. I love kids, and especially the kids in Uganda. I'm probably their favorite Mzungu, right? So I'm super excited for this chance to go and just humbled by the opportunity.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. As John kind of mentioned, this is a little different than anything we've done here before, because this is the first time since I've been here as pastor that we've ever asked the church to be a part of something. And we are going to ask the church to be a part of this with a 6-year commitment. And that commitment, our shepherd leaders, we've already talked about it, and we have determined that we're going to do this, whatever, because we feel our church is called to it. We feel like God has brought it together with our church. And normally we don't ask that type of thing. Normally we leave things like, you know, this is a very generous church. We don't try to push you where your heart is taking you or where you think things are going. But in this venture, for church our size, this is not an expensive venture like it would be if we were not all together. But I think it's something that God has brought together for our church, and we're going to ask you to be a part of it, because we're going to be investing. Unlike in other places, the country is so poor, and we're pulling pastors from all over the country to come to this central training. And when they leave their children and their homes, their wives. If they leave and they don't work today, they don't eat that night. And so we want to be able to supplement that, get them good material, and so I want you to just pray about what God would have you to do for this. And normally we don't do that. You know, we open it up that if your heart is there, then you know, give where you want to. We've got bunch of different ministries and stuff like that, and I know all of you give, or most of you give, to places outside of here too. But this is one thing that we would like to be able to make an Eastwood mission, because after we finish those 3 years and we have maybe two people who are now going to, their job will be to go and teach, which means there has to be, you know, like I said, the average Ugandan lives on less than $2.50 a day. So you're not talking about a huge investment for us, but I think it's something that we want to invest in. We want to invest to free those men up to be able to take the gospel to their culture, to their people. And so I want you to pray about what you might do. And if you're not familiar with our church, you know, we don't pass the plate. You know, there's a box back there that some people don't even know is back there. Or you bring it into the office, but you bring your offering. We don't take your offering because it comes from your heart. I want you to pray about this as being an additional thing that you want to be a part of. So let's close our eyes and let's pray together. Father, we are grateful for the example that we know are extreme examples. You don't call everybody to go out into the middle of nowhere or to step out with no support and no full-time stable job, but just out into your calling. And it amazes us when we see people like Greg and we see people like Makumbi. And I know that there are many others that you specially called to go out, but that's the exception. Most of us are planted right here in our community, in our families, in our city, and we are called to be Christ and to bring your word to the people that you put in our school or in our workplace or in our daily lives. And Father, we want to serve you with the same fervor that we see those who are an extreme example to us of what laying your life down before Christ really means. But we also are aware that when you send those, that they can't go without the love and support of their families back home. And so, Father, we ask you to just open our eyes to what part that we can be in what you're doing, but also that you open our eyes to realize that the same joy and the same awe of who you are and how you've worked in their lives, you want every single one of us to experience. You want us to be able to look around and think, without God in my life, without the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, my life would be wasted. But because I heard and answered the call of God for my life, I see the great value of why I was created. May everyone in this room be able to experience the joy of knowing and fulfilling your will for their lives. It's what we want, and it's why we lay our lives before you and say, thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on that cross, Lord, to wash away our sins that we might be clean before you and we might be restored to a relationship where we might serve you. And our heart's desire is that we do. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.